This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 2 days before Christmas, this is a live show, meaning we're ready to take your calls if you're so inclined and receive your emails. You can send us an email at talk@talklouisiana.org or give us a call at 297-5633 or 877-217-5757. Chris Andrews is with us, and a reminder also that signature support for Talk Louisiana is provided by Brian Lowe Financial. Reverend Andrews, for 22 years, was the pastor at First United Methodist in downtown Baton Rouge, one of the largest congregations in our city. He continues his ministry with Jubilee Pioneers, and usually on Mondays, his group meets at the Bocage Racquet Club. He tells me you're down until January, though, for that, correct?
It's nice to have a church that you can take a holiday from, yes. So we're out until January 6th.
January 6th. And I presume they'll even meet January 13th when LSU quite possibly will be playing for the national championship.
I suspect it'll have an effect on our attendance, but yes, we'll be there.
Perhaps you'll start early that night. But to Chris Andrews, also for the last 6 years has been head of Rebuilding Together Baton Rouge and is doing fine work helping people who are without aid get in their homes, stay in their homes, and also people of advanced, as Rush Limbaugh would say, senior citizens and veterans, people like that who may need a hand up rather than a handout. So Chris Andrews, thank you for what you're doing in our community, and we will talk with him about this. And also, we will hear from Mike Manning of the Food Bank. He's our second guest today. But again, our number is 877-217-5757. And the President of the United States has said that he's brought Christmas back to America, that people weren't saying Merry Christmas anymore until he became president. He's taking credit for that, and he is a man who reveres Christmas, and his father's name was Frederick Christ Trump, and his brother was Frederick Christ Trump, and without being too whimsical at this time of the year, the president is both the son and the brother of Christ. And some of us of the Christian persuasion all think we're sons and brothers of Christ. And Chris Andrews, I guess it's good, no matter what your political slant, that the president is certainly a devout man.
Yes, it is good. Devotion is a wonderful thing, and this time of year we give our hearts and minds over to the practice of love, hopefully, and compassion in this world. And I'm glad the president is a celebrator of Christmas, as are so many people in our world.
And he is a man, as we know, who occasionally sends out inflammatory tweets about people he doesn't like. And when I say occasionally, it's almost every day. He had a relationship of an intimate nature with a pornographic film star, paid her $130,000 to keep quiet. And he has a history of doing things, two marriages that failed, that many in the evangelical community, if it had been a Democrat or another Republican, they would have said, no way, we're not going to support him. But in the New York Times and in other places, there have been stories about this Christian group, Christianity Today, long known as the flagship magazine of America, breaking the internet with an editorial arguing for the impeachment and removal of Donald Trump from office. And this has caused many other evangelicals to get upset. Ralph Reed, a leading evangelical activist and supporter of the president, has boasted to his followers there are more Christians serving in the Trump administration than all previous presidents combined. Chris Andrews, your thoughts?
Well, we live in strange times, Jim, and it's almost the experience of being on a pinball machine. We rock from one outrageous idea to another outrageous idea to acts that at one time would have been, you know, regarded as almost unspeakable, now just casual, and we rock along. President Trump is an interesting man for many, many reasons. I think Ronald Reagan was given the title as a kind of a Teflon president. Nothing stuck to him. Well, Trump puts that in a whole new dimension. He seems to be able to do almost anything, say anything, and his supporters are rock solid behind him. It's amazing.
Well, a story from the Associated Press reads that roughly 8 in 10 white evangelical Protestants say they approve of the way the president is handling his job. That's according to a survey conducted this month, and he received well over 80% of the votes, if surveys are accurate, in the presidential election against Hillary Clinton. How do you explain that?
It's difficult for me to explain it, really, because, you know, when you and I'm not trying to be partisan here, but when you read the Gospels and you hear Jesus speak about helping the poor and being kind and forgiving your enemies and all of those kinds of things that are really the center, as I understand it, of the gospel message, Mr. Trump doesn't do a lot of that. He's on another plane. And yet, people who are devout Christians, who are in their churches on Sundays, are, you know, rallying behind him. I frankly, I'm bumfuzzled by it. I don't understand it.
Really?
I really am. Yeah, I can't put together the disconnect between what I understand the gospel to be about and the practice of the faith, and then this fervent loyalty to a man who has, in many instances, been anything but a practicer of the faith. So,
Jimmy Carter was an evangelical, and some would say not a great president, but he's been a great ex-president, and he was not supported by and large by evangelicals, probably because he was a Democrat, and Donald Trump has. Does it all come down to politics and perhaps the stand on the choice issue?
I think that's a big piece of it. The choice issue is certainly ground zero for many evangelicals, and they'll overlook a lot to get support for that and to back the person that seems to resonate and follow what they believe the choice issue should be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that's a big piece of it.
Well, you can only imagine if, let's say, Pete Buttigieg is the Democratic nominee, who is a man married to another man, who has a sterling resume, a war veteran, speaks seven languages, a Rhodes Scholar. He's young. He's vibrant. He's not slothful like our president. And yet, I would suspect that if it's him against Donald Trump, the evangelicals will dig in even harder.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And so it goes, you know. We just seem to, as a nation, be able to compartmentalize our ideas in such ways that the faith doesn't really impact the vote, in my opinion. People are voting not because of their faith or their convictions as Christians, as much as I think they're voting because they happen to be conservative Americans who are Christian.
We're visiting with Chris Andrews, veteran minister here in Baton Rouge, who's done Louisiana proud, and you're listening to Talk Louisiana. The number is 877-217-5757, and our email is talk@talklouisiana.org. Tracy at the Capitol says, how many of the seven cardinal sins has the president violated? And I'm looking it up. I may miss a few here. Seven cardinal sins. Chris Andrews, seven deadly sins also called.
Right.
And the president, according to those, I think would be in danger, as many of us would. Envy is one of them. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Gluttony, certainly the president would be, a victim of gluttony. Lust. Chris, you're nodding. This is radio.
Yes. Well, maybe sloth.
Anger.
You know, but
greed and sloth.
Sloth. I can't accuse the president of sloth. I don't think he's lazy in any sense. He's a man who gets up and hits it hard every day, it seems to me.
Okay. But he does not work out.
Well, he doesn't work out. No, but he.
Except on the golf course.
He's passionate about what he's passionate about, and he gives it his all. The old statement, people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Well, we all live in glass houses. We've all fallen short in many, many ways. And so it's not a football game where we keep score. I don't think that helps anything. Um, we we should try to raise the conversation to a new level rather than yelling at each other that my man's better than yours or I'm better than you. Let's start with confession. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But we have an obligation to help each other, to raise up our brothers and our sisters who are in need, and practice love and compassion. That's what it's all about, as I understand it.
877-217-5757. We had John Schneider on this show Friday, the actor who we're glad lives in Louisiana. He is a supporter of the president, and he said he was unifying this country. Some would take issue with that, and of course that's from a supporter of Donald John Trump who believes that this impeachment is the wrong thing to do. What do you think about that? We'll talk more with Chris Andrews about this and more when we return after this 90-second pause on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Chris Andrews, the minister of renown in Baton Rouge, is with us. And if you'd like to join the conversation, 877-217-5757. And you can send emails, as we've gotten a few, to talk at talklouisiana.org. Those who talk about how divided we are now, well, we have been divided in this country many times and in many ways. And for those who believe that things are worse now than they've ever been, think about segregation and how things in the supposedly idyllic 1950s really were. And it was Martin Luther King who said the arc of justice, or the arc of history is long, but it bends toward justice. Generally, indeed. Do we get to the right place in this country?
Somehow, you know, this is a great country. I mean, we've accomplished things that are really heroic as a nation, and so I'm a hopeful person, and I think that, you know, we do get to where we need to be eventually. But, you know, Jim, I think right now one of the real issues that has not been with us in the past is the way we communicate, the Internet, continual, you know, looking at phones and hearing 24/7 news streams of various kinds and various ilks. It's a different world, and I haven't made the transition to it yet. I'm still a newspaper guy. I get up in the morning, read my newspaper. I don't get my news off the Internet or anything like that. Seldom watch television. But I do think it has an effect on people. And when you leave either CNN or Fox News on 12, 15 hours a day, and that's hitting you coming and going, it makes a difference in the tone of the conversation on the street.
Lee in New Orleans. Lee, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Lee.
Good morning, yes, Jim, and your guests.
Good morning.
I have a quick question. Is it possible, in your opinion, that the president could represent or could be the Antichrist? Quick question.
I'm afraid that I don't go there. I'm not into that kind of theology at all, and I think that's a dangerous label to put on anyone. And I think labeling is not a healthy thing. So,
yeah, that and for those who would hope for some kind of violence, that's not the way to answer it either.
No,
the way to handle things is through the Constitution, and we have elections, and in this case we have impeachment. Is that dividing the country?
Well, certainly it's dividing the country, and you can see it. It's almost an even divide by the results of the polls. I think it's unfortunate that we are in this state of affairs. I wish that the impeachment event had not occurred, but it has occurred, and now there's nothing to do but to go forward with it. I don't think it helps, and I am one who believes that the ballot box is the best place to make your case and go from there.
877-217-5757 is your number. Doug on Corsi. Doug, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Reverend Chris Andrews.
Good morning. Something you may have touched on, but which I'm very concerned about, is the example that's being set from the highest office for the young people in America, that it's okay to lie, cheat, and steal to get what you want or avoid what you don't want, and that the point of getting power is to be able to do those things with impunity. And they're watching all this, and they're not maybe saying a lot about it, but you know that it's having an impact, and I'm very concerned about the lessons they're drawing from this situation.
Well, I agree with you, Doug, and I think that people in positions of leadership should really feel a burden to model a certain kind of lifestyle, a value system, the way they speak, the way they treat other people, the use of language. All of that's very important. And unfortunately, we've not seen, in my opinion, good examples of that being done well in these years.
Thank you, Doug. Good to hear from you, and happy holidays. And we go to Dan downtown. Hello, Dan. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Yeah, good morning, Reverend. Is there anything in the New Testament to indicate that Jesus Christ approves of the fundamentalist discrimination against gay people?
No, there's nothing that I can find there. In fact, some of the issues that we shout loudest about in our world, Jesus didn't say a thing about. And you know, he spoke about taking care of the poor. We need to do that. He spoke about showing mercy and compassion, but didn't say anything, as I have read it, about the whole same-sex or heterosexual relations.
Sabash at the Country Club of Louisiana. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hello, Sabash.
Good morning, Jim, and good morning, Mr. Anders. I appreciate your talk on this issue. I beg to differ with your guest on election being the best decision-making thing to reject any ideologue. 2016 should be a lesson to us. If the founders and the authors of our Constitution thought that election should be the only way to get rid of a wayward president, they would not have given us the tool of impeachment.
All right, but impeachment's within the Constitution. That's what I wasn't Chris Andrews. I'm the one who said that. But I just don't think that violence against a person or a group or some kind of military coup, that's not the way we conduct affairs in the United States. At least it's not the way we should, and hopefully we won't ever get to that point.
Right. I share that hope, and certainly, I think we have a wonderful country. It's a blessing to live in America. Whether you're white, black, male, female, rich or poor, yes, we have problems. We have some serious problems, but all in all, it is still the land of opportunity, and I think we can solve our issues in civil and humane ways, and move toward a better day.
Mm-hmm. Here's one from Holly in the Garden District about the division we have in our country right now, and President Trump, of course, is a person who is supported by about 40% of the country very passionately, 8 out of 10 evangelicals, but she notes that 4 out of 10 Republicans who were in office, this is a story that the New York Times had over the weekend, 4 out of 10 Republicans who were in office during his tenure have either resigned their posts, they're leaving Congress, or they have been defeated. So is he hurting his party?
Well, politics moves back and forth, and I don't know if he's hurting his party or not. I think that there will be a day when we as a nation move back from where we are right now to a more moderate, perhaps middle of the road, maybe even slightly left from where we are. Because that's the nature of politics. That's the nature of life, and it changes, moves one way, moves the other way.
And people do change. And
yes,
one great example of that, well, there's several, but in Louisiana, certainly our two U.S. senators were liberal Democrats well into their 50s, and now they're very conservative Republicans. Here's Donald Trump, Chris Andrews, 2008, liberal Democrat, Donald Trump. This is how he sounded in 2008 about Nancy Pelosi and impeachment.
Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker?
Well, when she first got in and was named Speaker, I met her, and I'm very impressed by her. I think she's a very impressive person. I like her a lot. But I was surprised that she didn't do more in terms of Bush and going after Bush. It was almost, it just seemed like she was going to really look to impeach Bush and get him out of office, which personally I think would have been a wonderful thing.
Impeaching him?
Absolutely. For the war. For the war.
Because of the conduct of
the
war.
Well, he lied. He got us into the war with lies. And, I mean, look at the trouble Bill Clinton got into with something that was totally unimportant. And they tried to impeach him, which was nonsense. And yet Bush got us into this horrible war with lies, by lying, by saying they had weapons of mass destruction, by saying all sorts of things that turned out not to be true.
All right. So people do change.
They do change indeed. You played this last week, Jim, and I happened to catch it on my car radio. And I mentioned to my wife when I got home, I said, my goodness, there was a time when Donald Trump and I would have seen a lot of things together in the same way. That's
just 11 years ago.
Not the case now.
We'll be back with more from Chris Andrews, and we'll hear from Mike Manning of the Food Bank after this brief pause for the news on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle producing. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Coming in just a bit, we'll hear from Mike Manning, president of the Food Bank in Baton Rouge, and also president of the Baton Rouge Rotary Club. The fifth largest Rotary Club in the world is right here in Baton Rouge. We'll talk with him about that. But Chris Andrews is with us for a few more minutes. If you'd like to get in under the wire, 877-217-5757. David in Atlanta. Hello, David. You're on Talk Louisiana with Reverend Andrews. Hi, David. David in Atlanta.
Good morning, gentlemen. I hope I have the topic right. But for the Christian evangelicals who are so much in love with Trump, Trump is the antithesis of what a role model Christian should be. For example, he's mean, he's vindictive, he loves vengeance. If you read the, there's a report on the internet how he's evidently has vowed vengeance on people who played any role in his impeachment. Forgiveness is the essence of the Christian faith, and Trump doesn't represent anything remotely like that.
Well, President Trump is a different character, and you know, I believe that the word Christian has taken on so many colors these days that I kind of hesitate to use it to apply to myself, and want to call myself instead a follower of Jesus. And so to ask the old question, what would Jesus do, is a good thing for us to do as we go about our daily activities. What would Jesus do when he sees the person who's hungry? What would Jesus do when he checks out at the Circle K with his bottle of water? What would Jesus do? How do we treat people? Love and compassion is what it's all about.
You never see a fat Jesus.
No, you don't see a fat Jesus. So.
Chris Andrews, here's one from Joe Paris saying, thank you for having Reverend Andrews as a guest. What specific church outreach programs should we be doing more of, bringing homeless into churches, he asks, on bitter nights? Jimmy Carter seems to be a wonderful Christian, writes Joe, building homes plus other acts of mercy. Please speak to what churches can do more of.
Yeah, we need to put flesh on love. I mean, we need to take that word and make it real by doing those acts of kindness and working for justice in this world that truly improve the lives of human beings. Today, the little organization that I direct, Rebuilding Together Baton Rouge, we're putting three roofs on houses in this community. What a wonderful Christmas present for people who've been living in homes that leak every time it rains and it's cold and miserable. That's what we need to be doing. And, you know, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, said Jesus, you did it to me. So if we want to see where Jesus is, look for the poor, look for the needy, look for those that need our assistance. And for those of us who are blessed enough to have the wherewithal to do something to help them, let's get out there and do it.
All right, Chris Andrews, you've been involved with Rebuilding Together Baton Rouge for 6 years, and you were at the press club recently, and your organization, like a lot of nonprofits, and we're about to hear from Mike Manning, these times are tough for nonprofits.
They are tough, and, you know, it's sad that we have to struggle. The Food Bank does, Rebuilding Together does. There's plenty of money out there. It's just a matter of how it's distributed and how it's applied. We just saw a governor's race where, you know, millions and millions of dollars were poured into that. That's fine, But when, you know, people don't have decent places to live or enough food to eat, could we not just carve out a few $100,000 for organizations like the Baton Rouge Food Bank or Rebuilding Together Baton Rouge? It's chump change for some people, but for us, I tell you, it makes a big difference, and we make a big difference in our collective efforts in the lives of people who otherwise are overlooked and forgotten and all suffer right. needlessly.
Here's one from Rick asking Christians, if they are truly Christians, should they be stewards of the environment?
Indeed. Indeed. In fact, boy, I mean, you know, some people, myself included, believe that nature is the first Bible. In other words, if we want to see where God is or watch God at work, look at nature and look at the world as it unfolds. It's a miraculous thing to see every morning, every evening. And so, yes, we've got to take care of this earth.
Adam, saying that we've been piling on the president, says that we should also look at, speaking of the environment, a column by James Gill, which I have found, about Cedric Richmond, in which he says the Guardian newspaper, as part of a year-long investigation, published a piece, "Why is this top Democrat absent from the fight against toxic pollution?" The answer, writes Gill, or quoting the Guardian, might have something to do with the more than $400,000 Richmond has taken from oil, gas, and chemical companies. So,
right. I saw that piece. I remember it recently. It's amazing what money will cause people to be about and do. And so, you know, they're hard questions of what is just, and it's not easily answered, and following dollars is not always a way to get justice.
No, in the Democratic debate last week, Pete Buttigieg was criticized by Elizabeth Warren
right.
for, quote, having a fundraiser in a wine cave.
Wine cave. I didn't know there were such places, but yeah.
I don't know, but yeah. I'd like to go.
$900 bottles of wine, I think, something like that.
In Napa Valley.
Napa. That's high cotton.
That you can tell where we're from.
That's right.
That's what my mama used to tell me. It's high cotton.
High cotton.
Well, it's high cotton anytime Chris Andrews visits us. We hope you have a happy holiday. Do you have a message of peace on this
I think,
day, 2 days before?
You know, the word of the angel in announcing the birth of Jesus, peace on earth and goodwill to all, is one that we should take as personal mottos and live that as best as we can.
Well, thank you. Let's see you often in 2020.
Good. Thank you, Jim. Best
and
to
for
you.
Those who want to contact you about Rebuilding Together Baton Rouge,
www.rtbr.org.
Might want to say that one again.
www.rtbr.org.
All right. We're going to go to Mike Manning in just a moment, but we've had at least one person on the line for a little while, so this may have something to do with you, Chris. If it does, I hope you'll stay. Randy and Zachary. Randy, you're on Talk Louisiana. Hello, Randy.
Yes, I just want to make a mention. In 1960, John Kennedy had a fundraiser, and it was a pretty expensive dinner, and Harry Truman made the comment, "There goes democracy." Thanks.
All right. We've been talking about these things for a little while.
Right. Follow the dollars.
Follow the dollars. And Kennedy was a rich guy. And usually presidents are people of means. It
Indeed.
Is rare that you find somebody who's dirt poor who rises
yeah.
to the
Abraham Lincolns are not to be found.
Abe Lincoln. That was over 150 years ago.
Right.
Number 16 on the honor roll. Now we have number 45, and we do have an election in 2020 that we will follow with you. And folks, believe it or not, we're just 10 months and a few days away from the finish line. Mike Manning is with us, the president of the Baton Rouge Food Bank, also president of the Baton Rouge Rotary Club. Why don't we start there? The Rotary Club, of which I've been a member now for a few years, has a very diverse membership. You're going to see people from all types at the Rotary Club who are members, and you get speakers who come, impressive speakers, and the Rotary Club doesn't pay them a dime, right?
That's right. It's one of the unique things about being one of the largest clubs in the country.
It sets us apart. And the fifth largest in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Sully Sullenberger came to the Baton Rouge Rotary Club, had to pay his own way.
It's just amazing that we get these types of speakers and the opportunity to bring them to the Baton Rouge area. And contribute. And, you know, we do piggyback when other people are having speakers in. We'll try to piggyback them on to come speak to us. But it's really a unique opportunity that the club presents.
Well, a few months ago, we had Susan Murphy, who's a mathematics professor at Harvard, one of the great math geniuses. In fact, she was a MacArthur genius a few years ago in the world. And she credited a Rotary scholarship for getting it all started after she left LSU. She went off to Germany, and the Rotary gets involved in a lot of areas of public life that maybe most people, including some members, don't know a whole lot about.
Yeah, there's a lot of history. You know, we've been in a club in Baton Rouge for over 100 years now. So there's a lot of the leadership in Baton Rouge to make things happen that happened at the Rotary Club and came out of Rotary Club meetings to go address problems and concerns in the community.
How many members are there now, Mike?
There are just over 500 members in the club.
Oh, just over 500. Are you seeking more?
We're always looking to gain new members because we want to maintain a good membership, but to be able to allow us to continue to have these great programs. And, you know, we have older people in the club who are retiring, who are moving on, who are, you know, finding other things to do.
Moving on literally, right?
Well, I was trying to be a little diplomatic, but, you know, we do get challenged by our age at some point.
And another listener notes that he wonders what happened to the Rotary Club because he used to see this big traffic jam on Wednesdays coming out of Boudreaux's on Government Street, doesn't see it anymore. It's been a few years now since the Rotary moved from Boudreaux's.
Yeah, we moved from Boudreaux's to Drusilla, and it changed the traffic flows for a lot of people. Some were happy, some are.
And Drusilla is a place where it's very comfortable, and it has good acoustics. That microphone was going out frequently at Boudreaux's. I remember that. That was a bit of an issue, but the acoustics are very good at
Drusilla.
It's important when you're giving a speech.
There are always issues with AV, no matter where you are. You're always going to have some problem or some issue, especially if you have a great speaker come in.
I remember when we had the Baton Rouge Press Club meeting for years at De La Ron Hall, which was this big cavernous room, and Mitch Landrieu said, he says, man, you got to get out of here. This is just a horrible room. And I said, only a theater major would notice that.
Yep.
And, of course, he graduated in theater from Catholic University of America. And he knew a good room for giving a speech when he saw one, and that was a tough room. Rotary now meets at Drusilla. That's a good room for giving a speech. You don't want tall ceilings and lots of ambient noise. And there will be some great speakers in 2020 for members of the Rotary Club, now more than 500 strong, the fifth largest in the world, fourth largest in the United States. Who has the biggest?
Let's see. I don't remember exactly who's the largest. I think it's a club in India.
India?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Well, Mike Manning will talk about his day job at the food bank when we return after this brief pause on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us. Matt Doyle producing. You're listening to Talk Louisiana 2 days before Christmas. And if you'd like to get in under the wire, we will be preempted tomorrow and Christmas Day, by the way. We'll be back live on the 26th. But the number is 877-217-5757. Mike Manning, the president of the Baton Rouge Food Bank, is with us, and also president of the Baton Rouge Rotary Club, and Tom on Bluebonnet. He makes a good distinction. We're talking about the downtown Rotary Club. There are a lot of Rotary Clubs, or a few anyway, in Baton Rouge, but this one is the one, the old line Rotary Club, correct?
The one that's called the Rotary Club of Baton Rouge. That's
okay.
Us.
And it's more than 500 members. Now, as far as the food bank, you've been in charge 16 years, and I mentioned some of the struggles of nonprofits now. Is that also true of the food bank?
I think it's true for all nonprofits with, you know, the impact of the changes in the tax law. We're seeing people approach charitable donations differently than they have in the past. We're hearing from financial advisors that they're telling their advisees to hold and combine their donations over a couple of years. So they can have a bigger impact, but also get the tax deductibility because of changes in the standard deduction, and which effectively is eliminated charitable deductions for most people.
When you say the standard deduction, how much are we talking about?
Well, the standard deduction moved from $12,000 to $24,000. So when you start looking at doubling the standard deduction to qualify mm-hmm. to itemize and take charitable deductions, it's a significantly higher target.
I see. And this is a man who has a degree from finance at LSU. How did you get involved with the food bank?
Well, I was centralized out of my position with the company I was working for because of the bankruptcy of the parent, and ended up looking at, saw the ad in the paper, and said,
oh, an ad in the paper.
And I looked at that. Yeah, that's how long ago it was. And I looked at that, and I called a friend of mine who'd been on the board, and he said, that's exactly what you need to do. So I submitted my application, went through the process. They ultimately hired me, and at the end of the process, they said, we just want you to understand we were looking for someone with one of three things, social service experience, nonprofit experience, or food bank experience. I had none of those. So it was a leap of faith on their part to give me the opportunity, and we've tried to do our best to honor that.
We're visiting with Mike Manning, again, 877-217-5757. He's wearing his jacket that says Greater Baton Rouge Food Bank. Slice of Life Golf Classic?
Yeah.
I didn't know there was such a thing. I need to know more.
That's one of our ways to raise money, to feed more people.
Okay. What are some of the things you do in the community every year?
I guess the biggest thing we like to focus on is our distributions. We do basically food through over 100 pantries throughout the 11 parishes that surround and include East Baton Rouge that we serve. And then we also do what we call our senior grocery program, where we distribute food directly to seniors right from our offices on West Dual. And then we also have a backpack program to make sure that children have food during the weekends and holiday breaks to make sure that they're getting that sustenance in between the free or reduced lunch programs.
And as far as volume, how much food do you provide?
We will push probably close to 14 million pounds this year, which is a fairly substantial increase. And it's really a function of the continued need. And the more we can get food out, the more meals we can provide, the better impact we can have for the state.
14 million pounds right here in Baton Rouge.
That's correct.
And volunteers?
We have 7,000 to 8,000 volunteers a year. We can't do what we do without volunteers, because we can't hire enough people to help us do all these, we can't sustain enough employees to do it. So we get the equivalent of almost 18 full-time employees from our volunteers.
We'll get to Joe Burrow in a moment. We're not burying the lead. 877-217-5757. Mike on airline. Mike, you're on with Mike Manning. Good morning.
Yeah, Mike, you probably don't know that the post office still has a box of food left over for when the carriers picked up the mail back in May.
All right.
We'll follow up with our post office contact.
Lots of food is wasted, though. I'm at the LSU Suites on Saturday nights. When I acquired our little company, that was one of the parts of the package, and it's a good part, but all that food goes away. They don't save it. They don't allow people to leave with it, and it just goes away. Lots of good food. How can we avoid wasting food?
Well, a lot of it is there are opportunities to salvage things, but we're worried about food safety and the wellness of the people we serve. We do not want to put the people we serve who are already dealing with hunger and food insecurity in a bad situation by giving them food that we can't guarantee is safe. So people say, why can't you pick things up off of buffets and those types of things? It's exactly that. We don't know the condition it's in, what's happened to it. We do work a lot with hotels and other places who have banquets who will take the excess food and package it up. Especially Lod Cook does that for us and distribute it to a pantry. We do a lot of restaurant pickups to distribute that food before it goes to waste. So it's really a focus of trying to salvage as much as we can.
Peggy in Sherwood. Peggy, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Yes. I want to say, first of all, that I've enjoyed both Chris Andrews and this gentleman talking.
Thank you.
We've contributed to the food bank, but every month I get this beautiful thank you note that's a wonderful piece of news of paper, well made and all, and I would just prefer they not spend that 50 cents a plus a month to send me a thank you note.
You can't win for losing sometimes.
Well, we'll do that, and we honor our donors' wishes. We actually, in our newsletter, ask our donors to allow us to do that. But we feel it's appropriate that we thank the people who are making a difference in the community, because they're there for us, they've been there for us, and whenever there's a problem or an issue, they step up even more to help us. And we truly appreciate it, and we represent the people who are getting the food, and we want to make sure that our donors understand and appreciate how much those people appreciate the opportunity to be able to put food on the table.
And Mike Manning, what about Joe Burrow? He's a guy who made a speech, and lots of people started contributing to the food bank in Athens, Ohio, his hometown. We have over $500,000, I believe, which is great. But the town has, I think, 26,000 people, too, so that's a lot of money, and it's money for a good cause. But what is anything happening in Baton Rouge related to that speech?
There was a group that stepped up and started a Help Feeding Tigers or something along those lines off of Facebook to do the same thing here. And from what I understand, as of a check this morning, it's over $66,000 that has been raised to go to us to help feed more people in the Baton Rouge area.
What can you do with $66,000?
Well, if you use our calculation, you know, take that and multiply it by three, and that's the number of meals we could be able to distribute. So, you know, you're
almost
talking about almost 200,000 meals that we can generate as a result of that generous donation.
What will you do for the holidays, as in right now?
Well, right now we're in the mode of closing down for the holidays, making sure that all the distributions have made to our pantries. All our pantries have made their distributions. We'll take a couple of days off to recharge, because we really push the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas. We push our people very hard. We'll come back, close out the year, and look to the new year and see how many more people we can feed next year.
Are there places here in Baton Rouge where people can go, those without means, who would like a good meal on Christmas Day?
St. Vincent de Paul, of course, is the one that's obvious, but there are several others. A lot of churches do it just on their own, not even related to us, that step up to make a difference for those that are dealing with food insecurity, dealing with homelessness, dealing with poverty. I mean, it's really a challenging situation. But we try to get people to think about it a little differently. You know, when we go to the state and ask for money, it's really not about, you know, all these poor people, they need this. We try to get the state to realize that if you make an investment in nutrition and quality nutrition for the people we serve, in the long term, it'll save the state money by improving the health of those individuals and thereby not impacting the health care costs for the state to provide assistance for these people.
How substantial is our challenge here in Baton Rouge with poverty and people who are without means?
Well, if you take our 11 parishes that surround East and include East Baton Rouge, we are about, if you take all the federal feeding programs, the alphabet soup, as you call it, of WIC and TFAP and all those different feeding programs, all the meals we provide, and you do the math for people who are food insecure, we still need just under 20 million meals to make sure that people are getting three meals a day.
20 million meals.
Yep. On an annual basis, that's the number. It's a big challenge.
And you said earlier it was 14 million, right?
Yeah.
So you're 6 million short of
well,
where you'd like
no,
to be.
No. This is after all the federal feeding programs, SNAP and WIC and TFAP,
goodness.
And what we do, that we're still 20 million meals
20
short.
Million short. So there's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah. When I first started at the food bank, I said, you know, I really want to work myself out of a job. You know, the Baton Rouge area shouldn't need to have a food bank of this size, and we've more than doubled in size since I started out of necessity because we haven't been able to make the change.
Here's an observation from Vicky saying there's some changes coming to the food stamp program. How will this affect people who are in need of food?
Well, it's the able-bodied requirements where people are going to have to work or go into training to be able to qualify. But there are also some qualifications as far as the unemployment rate, a certain percentage above the national unemployment rate that will be exempted. So we're trying to figure out exactly, and it's going to be, you know, a parish-by-parish situation. So we're going to have to look at each parish and double-check and make sure. But you know, we think we're going to have an impact.
Well, before we go, for those who want to contact the food bank, best way to do it?
www.brfoodbank.org.
brfoodbank.org. Thank you, Mike Manning. Appreciate your work. And happy holidays to you and to our listeners. We'll be back Thursday with a live show. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial.